Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the very first day of May, Anno Domini 2021, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news, but first, two announcements. First, yes, Steve Ray, one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Midwest, so there will be no YouTube today.
Yep.
However, we would like to report that the pledge drive is over, so it's safe to call in again. We fell short of our goal, and that's on all those of you who didn't call in. But those of you who did and became members, we are so grateful that you put your faith in us, and we thank you for that.
Absolutely.
And we absolutely appreciate every penny. And
now, wait a minute. Can people only become members during the pledge drive?
No, absolutely not. They can still pledge, and the easiest way to do that is to go online at jazz901.org. Hit the Donate Now, the big blue Donate Now button, which I said correctly this week.
Very nice.
And make the pledge and put sound weights down as your thing. And I'm looking at you, all you people who listen to the podcast. I know most of you did not, in fact, pledge. And so you need to do so. Jazz901.org. It is never too late to make a pledge.
And it really helps us.
We are short of our goal. We do not know what that means in terms of the programming you see every week.
It's going to be, every week. Yeah, it can be sketchy.
But we'll figure it out, and we'll deal with it one way or the other. But you could help us out by making up that deficit, by making that pledge.
Relieve that pressure.
Yep. All right, when Apple released the latest 11.3 for Mac OS on Sunday,
Monday,
it didn't just introduce support for new features and optimizations. More importantly, the company fixed a zero-day vulnerability that hackers were actively exploiting to install malware without triggering core Mac security mechanisms, some that were in place for more than a decade. Apple has a comprehensive set of protections designed to prevent users from inadvertently installing malware on their Macs, while one-click and even zero-click exploits rightfully get lots of attention. It's far more common to see Trojanized apps that disguise malware as a game, update, or other desirable piece of software. Do you know that we're still seeing Java updates?
Really?
Java updates for Macs and PCs.
Okay. Some things just don't want to die.
Yeah, Java is gone, people. There is no Java anymore. If you get an update notice, it's fake. Apple engineers know that Trojans represent a bigger threat to most Mac users than more sophisticated exploits that surreptitiously install malware with minimal or no interaction from users. So a core part of Mac security rests on three related mechanisms. A piece of malware well known to Mac security experts began exploiting a vulnerability that allowed it to completely suppress all three mechanisms. Called Schlayer, it has an impressive record in the 3 years since it appeared. Apple fixed the vulnerability on Monday's release of Mac OS 11.3. The flaw appears to have existed since the introduction of Mac OS 10.15 in June of 2019, which is when
10,
notarization.
15. What? 10.15.
What did I say?
You said 10.15, which was 20 years ago.
Oh, right. 10.15.
Right.
10.15. Which is when notarization was introduced, which is one of the three mechanisms. Many people consider malware like Schlayer unsophisticated because it relies on tricking its victims. But you have to understand, that is the way almost all malware gets installed in your
system.
Yeah,
that's the easiest way in now.
Yeah. To give Schlayer its due, the malware is highly effective, in large part because its ability to suppress macOS defenses designed to tip off users before they accidentally infect themselves. Those who want to know if they've been targeted by this exploit can download a Python script written by security expert Patrick Wardle. And that I'll talk about that in a minute. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is, are your Mac patches up to date? Your choices are, absolutely. I'll check right now. No, but I'll do it now. No, and I don't care. Max. And other. So far, we've got 27 votes, 23 of which are Max. those of you who say other, you can then go to our forum at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. You'll see the forums. Second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 1 May 21, Apple patches active OS security flaw, Mac OS security flaw. And in there, I have a link to that Python tool. So if you... there's instructions at the link as to how to download it and run it. And it's basically a tool that will check your machine to see if you have, in fact, been infected with this thing.
Yeah. Well, that's important to do. They released a number of updates Monday afternoon, and it wasn't just Mac OS. They also released updates for the Apple TV with tvOS, for the iPhone, iOS 14.5, which we've been waiting for since mid-December.
Yeah.
It had more betas on that than I've seen in a long time.
Than even Google has.
Right. So one of the things that we got was the ability to tell applications to inform the user if their information is going to be tracked. And the other thing that was a big deal that we got was the ability to unlock your iPhone with your Apple Watch.
Right.
So if you happen to be wearing a mask, which many of us have been somewhat recently, you can use an unlocked Apple Watch to unlock your phone the same way that you can to unlock your Mac.
So right.
I've been doing
that for many years.
Sure.
My Wear OS watch is paired with my phone. So as long as the watch is near the phone,
yeah,
as in when I'm wearing it,
right,
it keeps the phone unlocked, which is really nice.
Very nice.
So yeah, you'll find that's a real convenience.
Oh, for sure.
To be able to do that.
Yeah, I've already come to appreciate it quite a bit since it arrived on Monday.
Right.
So, yeah, we were talking about that the user is always the weakest link in the chain, and I remember that old Saturday Night Live skit about the land shark that would come to the door. And the woman in the apartment was concerned because there'd been a lot of, you know, brutal murders going on in the city in this fictional world. And so she hears a knock at the door, and she walks over to the door, and she says, "Who is it?" And all you hear is a voice saying, "Flowers."
Yeah, first it's
flowers.
Land shark.
I wasn't expecting any flowers.
Flowers.
Candygram. Well, I don't think I asked for a candygram. And, the bit would progress, and eventually they'd open the door, and it was the era of when Jaws was on in the theaters and in the zeitgeist, and would attack the woman, you know, as part of the crazy comedy that was going on at the time.
Back when it was good.
Just FYI, Steve texted, and he said that the YouTube stream is up and running.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it was audio only? Excellent. Well done, Steve.
All right. And per my contract, you guys are still in compliance. We have no video.
We have no video. We don't do video with Dennis. Dennis is far too handsome for us to have video. The studio would be swarmed.
Yeah, with all sorts of people.
With all sorts of people, and so we are contractually obligated.
You mean
to
those
not
warrants aren't done yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, unlike really the rest of us.
Some of the cars are parked outside. I do have flashing lights on them, but
yeah. I keep telling people, you know, you get all those things about what did you do that you're glad nobody filmed while you were in high school?
Oh yeah,
kind of thing. And my honest response is, I'm not saying because I'm not sure the statute of limitations has run out yet.
Amen to that one.
So we don't talk about it's not even Fight Club. We still don't talk about it.
To the grave.
At any rate, you can also give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. There's... We get a lot of pushback on updating Windows, and that's fair. There have been a lot of bad Windows updates. I mean, there have been a lot of bad Windows updates. But Mac OS, the whole Apple line, and in fact the whole Google line, Android and Wear OS and Chrome OS and all of that, has not had those kinds of issues. So update. In fact, I updated my Chromebook this morning.
Good.
And without any shock at all, I saw it just reboot. No problem. It came right back up.
Very, very normal.
Very normal. So, yes, I understand when you don't want to be the first one to install a Windows update. That generally, at least, now anybody can, you know, operating systems are made by humans. Okay. But even so, in general, you do not have that problem with Apple or Google operating systems. So you should, if you have not yet done your update, you should do it immediately, because it is, aside from all the very cool stuff that they added, there is also that security issue that you really, really want to close.
For sure. Yeah. Well, and especially, I say, anybody who can run the latest stuff, go ahead and go do it. It really doesn't take long, and it's going to offer you the most protection that you could really hope for. It's the kind of thing that you really want to keep up to date. Yeah, your life gets easier when you stay on the latest version.
The only problem is with the PC side of the Windows side of the world, I should say, and rightfully so, our people are very gun shy.
They should be.
And yeah, as I was going to say, there was so much skepticism out there on it because they're afraid that their system's going to be bricked.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but Microsoft has a bad reputation for, you know, using the users to try to do different updates and see how it works.
Yep.
And
yeah, you're the beta tester.
Yeah, no.
Well, part of it, of course, is, and you know, to be as fair as possible, which I hate to do, but I'm going to do it anyway. To be as fair as possible, Apple has complete control over the hardware.
True. Yeah.
So they know exactly what...
What chips, what video system.
Peripherals and everything else are in each of their devices. Yeah. So creating a new version of the operating system, there's no guesswork involved.
Right. They don't have a lot of excuses.
Right. With Windows... Microsoft spends a lot of time working with third parties for various drivers.
Right.
And
it's like how Pandora's they
make those,
box.
Right. How they make those drivers is not under Microsoft's control. And you can have, you know, a third party built machine that is perfect. You can also have a third party built machine that's crap. And Microsoft has no control over either of those situations.
Well, that's the other thing, though. The variations of motherboard, video cards, sound cards, and you know, chipsets and everything else are far more numerous than on the Mac.
Well, and that's one dimension, right? And the other dimension is they also support back in time to previous machines. They don't always have what they need there. And if you look back through time, that's the other dimension that they've got to factor in. It's not just how broad is it, but it's also how far back are you going to support as well. And, and what chipsets can you support and so forth.
And both to their credit and their detriment, Apple has never been afraid to say everything you know is wrong.
Oh, well, yeah.
We're jumping that whole line.
You'd be surprised. People in tech often look at the fashion industry and kind of turn up their nose and say, oh, those people are only in it for the looks and only in it for this and that. Well, there's a lot of fashion that happens in the technology world, too, where suddenly you've got, oh, that's last year's model.
Right.
Oh, you don't have this new feature yet? Oh, your Apple Watch doesn't have the little red dot on the crown?
Well, but more importantly, I'm talking about the serious stuff, like when they changed over from 6800 to 68000, that was okay. But then they went over to the Intel chips and said, you know what? If you've got the old 68 line, too bad.
Yeah,
you're
so, done. Yeah, and 68K to PowerPC, and then PowerPC to Intel, and now Intel to M1. They've got a lot of experience shifting processor lines from one to another. They've done it several times over their history.
Right, and they're not afraid to say, this has reached end of life, get over it.
Yeah. Yeah. The Intel line there, you can still buy an Intel laptop. You can still buy an Intel Mac. You can get a Mac Pro that's still Intel. And for a lot of people, the feature set there is not a bug of being old. It's a feature that they can still run their older software. Where I work during the week, we have a lot of audio engineers, and we have plugins and other things where we really need a reliable version of the software. And most of those plugins are expecting not the latest version of the OS, but a version before. And we are, the goal there is to make a very stable system. And having something be older is okay. And it's nice, kind of nice that we can buy the last generation of things still.
For now.
For now.
Right.
Right.
Right. I have an old MacBook Air that unfortunately is dead, and I don't know if it's the they had two main problems with them. One is the fan.
Yes.
The
temperature sensor.
The thermal paste.
Sure.
Thermal paste dries out.
Mm-hmm.
It overheats.
Stops working. The machine starts to overheat.
Right.
Makes heat faster than the fan can take it away.
Right. I can't get the screws off, and I've tried.
They might be pentalobe screws. They might not.
Yeah, they
might not be Torx. They might have four. Right. Or I'm sorry, five.
Like a star.
Right.
Like a star.
But I don't have a thing for it. Or of course, or it's the other problem that they had regularly was dead memory chips, and you can't take those out. They're soldered in. So
well, if you need the Torx screws, I might be able to help you.
Well, thank you. I can get the case off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't get the fan off.
Yeah, the smaller ones.
Yeah.
You know, the smallest. Just so happens.
Maybe you know a guy. And if not, iFixit.com has some really nice toolkits that are not that expensive.
Yeah.
That you can get.
Yeah, we used to have to, take the hard drives apart and all that and fans off.
Mm-hmm.
And
I have probably 120 screwdrivers.
And, yeah, but they're just standard.
I just don't have that one.
Yeah.
I've got Torx, and I've got different sizes, and I've got different shapes. Nope. I just don't have that one in that size.
That set, matter of fact, that set I had to get back decades ago, back when go to Sears. I went to the Sears tool department, and they had this cabinet that you could sit there and pick the smaller ones. Because like Dennis says, you can buy the sets, that have all the standard Torx. But the other smaller ones I had over in this other little case, and you pull out the different sizes. And I'm, okay, we'll get one of these. And we had those for the longest time in the shop. I still have them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I have, for 20 plus years I've been carrying this around.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be able to open everything. I have a
he's pulling out of his pocket a multi-tool.
And it used to be able to open everything. I never carried a toolkit around.
Sure.
Because this opened every single computer of every single type.
Right.
That there was. And then all of a sudden, it didn't anymore.
Right. Yeah, suddenly the screws got extra small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And extra small and extra weird.
True.
Yeah.
I still
unique.
Carry it.
Yep. But yeah, I'll get those together, though, and bring them
next week
for you. No problem.
We'll see. I would like to be able to get it running again. We'll see.
Speaking of getting it running, I have a new toy. The new toy, it was provided to me by a good friend. He was ordering a new 3D printer for himself. And I said, hey, don't you already have a 3D printer? And he said, yeah, but I'm going to get this new one. And I said, well,
yeah.
You're going to need to make space for that new 3D printer on your desk, right?
Yes, you are.
And I said, I could probably help you out with that. I tell you, why don't I take this and I'll go put it in my trunk, and then you'll have all the space you need. He said, oh, okay.
Nice. What kind is it?
It's a smaller mono-price unit.
Nice,
it's a nice little one. And I fought with it for a little while because it has a micro SD slot. And supposed to load the files onto the micro SD card and then use the little buttons on the front and the display to pick the file you want and send it off. and the printer's supposed to fire up and come to life and do its thing. And no matter how many times I tried and how many different ways I formatted this SD card and how many different files I tried putting on there, and I'm brand new to this, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Right.
I put it in, and no matter what I did, the printer detected that there was a card, but did not see any files on it. And I said, well, that's kind of annoying. Well, it also had a micro USB slot, so I said, okay, let's see if I can connect to this sucker like it's just a printer.
Yes.
And what I ended up learning was it actually takes a serial input, you know, like your old modem would do.
Yep.
And you can talk to it that way and supply it all the information you need and pick a baud rate. And I said, wow, it's been a while.
Yeah. Old school.
Yeah.
But there it is.
But now
it
you
works.
Can pick baud rates with big, long numbers compared to, you know, the 9600 that I grew up with. And you fire that up. And I said, okay, here, try and print this little test thing that I found. And an hour and a half later, it was done. And it printed. And it
Isn't
came
that
to life.
The most fun?
And I said, hey, this is neat because... Yeah. You know, my friend warned me. He said, all right, I'm going to give this to you under one condition. I said, all right, I'm listening. What's the condition? You never come to me with any questions about it.
It's a one-way trip.
It's a one-way trip. After this, I don't acknowledge that you even have it, he said. So, yeah, exactly. So he told me that that's the deal. So I said, well, you know what? When I'm getting rid of stuff, I kind of have the same deal. So I knew what was going on. So there was no guarantee that this thing would ever power on, fire up.
Right.
You know, that it could burn my house down. Who knows? But
now that it has, you're quite doomed.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. I am.
You have to buy. Oh, Woot today.
Yes.
Has both printers and filament.
Ah, okay. I did get one roll of, I see. One roll of filament I picked up from the Jeff Bezos company.
Yes.
And they brought it to my house promptly, as
yes, they
are wont to do. And that has worked pretty well so far, but I will investigate this to see.
You
got to
have multiple colors.
I've got a very pretty Kelly green right now.
Nice.
I'm starting with that, and that's nice. And if anybody has ideas about what colors I should get next or things that I should print that would be very helpful around the house or that you know, maybe I can send a mom for Mother's Day, something
yes,
like that.
Yes, you can.
Let me know.
I made planters for my daughter.
Okay.
For Christmas. There's a Pokemon called a Bulbasaur.
Okay.
And she has, and it has a plant in its back. So I printed her a Bulbasaur in the proper color.
Yes.
And she put that plant in it.
Oh, fun.
And then for masks that go over your ears, of course, I have hearing aids.
Yes.
So I don't want to put them over my ears.
Right.
So I made this.
Okay, so he's showing me something he's pulled from his pocket.
And it's just little clips.
Uh-huh.
You put a piece of elastic between the two clips. You put the clips on the mask, and you
that
can
allows
put it on
the,
any mask at all.
That allows the elastic to go back behind your ears, around the back of your head.
On top of your head, yeah.
Rather than hanging off of your ears.
And that took almost no time to print.
They look relatively thin, so they imagine they printed pretty quickly.
They printed pretty quickly, and they're sturdy.
Nice. So they sort of, for our listening audience, they look like giant paper clips almost.
Almost.
And they're, you know, an inch and a half long, or about, what, 4 or 5 centimeters for our
Something
metric
like that,
using
yeah.
friends. And you put one on each side of your mask and then put some elastic behind your head, and then it can go on the back of your head instead of,
yeah,
like we so said, hanging off your ears.
And I'll tell you, I have my, of course, my wife owns a coffee stand at the Public Market, Flower City Coffee, open right now.
Ah.
And I'm constantly printing stuff for her.
Okay. What does she want?
Everything. And I'll tell you about it as soon as we come back. We'll talk about that. We're going to take a quick. Right. We'll take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
Yeah. So
you're
going to tell
us. You can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299.
Wait.
Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
people definitely should call. But what you were teasing before the break and what I've been waiting to hear this whole time, and you haven't even told me during the break, is what do you think I should be printing? Or what did you think that you were printing for your wife? You said she wanted several things.
I print stuff for my wife all the time. Everything from a scissors holster.
Okay.
That she could tack onto the side of the shelf.
Okay.
At Market. To lids for the coffee urns. To one of the things is she's got a couple of she's got a two burner unit.
Okay.
Warming.
Yeah, like a thing. Bun. Kind of thing
on the front. The problem is the way it has to face to plug in. The switches are on the front. And every once in a while, if somebody finishes a pot,
they hit it,
they put it down, and then turn off the switch. Just without thinking, because that's what you do at home.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right? If you're done with the coffee, you put the thing down and turn it off.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, she can't see the switch. So it isn't until she puts a pot out and it gets cold that she knows.
Then it's yucky.
And then
she's got to throw that out, which she does, and blah, blah, blah.
That's not good for business.
I made covers.
Okay.
For the switches.
Ah, so you have to mean it.
Yeah.
When you hit the switch.
You can't hit the switch. They're on.
Oh, okay.
Well, at the end of the day, she unplugs the thing.
I see.
And it's just done. It's just done. They're got glued on. They're not hot glued. They're glued on and epoxied on. And so it's all good. And she's very happy with those things. I've made all kinds of holders and things. Over the summer, I made bee traps. Although, hold on before I look forward to your letters, but before you write those letters, they're not bees. They're those little wasps that look like bees.
Yeah, yellow jackets. Yes.
Yeah.
That don't do anything useful.
Yeah, exactly. Those are all over the market at certain times of the year. And so we put out a cup with essentially a little funnel in it, and they can go down in for the sugar water.
Yeah.
But they can't get back out.
And
they get all drunk on the sugar water.
Yeah, what?
They get all drunk on the sugar water.
And they get all drunk on the sugar water, and they're in there. And then you just put a lid on it and throw it away. Because they are not bees. The opening in my funnel is a little too small for the average bee. It cannot get in.
But it's just right for those
little waspy things.
Yeah.
So,
interesting.
Yeah. So I made several of those. And in fact, I made several of those for other people at the market. Where did you get that? In my room. In my room. Can I get one? Yeah, not a problem. What color do you want? One of the things that happened to me is I backed a Kickstarter.
Okay.
That never made it. It's dead. I backed, a dozen Kickstarters? All of them came through with this one.
Now, most of our audience is probably going to know what a Kickstarter is, but why don't you roll back half a step?
Kickstarter is a thing where you go online and you say, I have an idea to make this. If you're interested, back me.
A business idea.
And it's a business idea, right. And then back me. And if we get enough money, we will make that thing, and you will get, one or two or however many you.
So you're collecting pre-orders.
It's essentially pre-orders.
Yeah.
And people kind of back your company, and the only thing they get is the thing that's your perk.
So it's not really an investment per se.
Right. Yeah. It's not an investment.
It's more of a pre-order situation.
Right. So I did that, and of course it didn't go through. But it took them a year to tell us that your money's lost. Bye bye. And during that year, one of the companies that sells 3D printer filament, the stuff you make your 3D prints with, had a sale. Like every month they had a sale.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, you were buying
stockpile. So I've got about 45 spools in different colors. So I'm good now for a very long time.
Yeah, but in your defense, though, you got
it.
Did
you put that in your will? What did you do?
No, he was getting them at ridiculously good prices.
Yeah.
Okay.
They had one of the things they had was a grab bag. So they were like a third the normal price, but they picked the color.
Okay, so you never know.
Well, when you've got no colors, what do you care what the color
is?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to get a duplicate.
Something is better than nothing.
Right. Okay.
So now I've got all of that. I also wrote a whole bunch of code that lets me create a database entry.
Yes.
With all the information for a print.
Okay.
So I can say, oh, I made this print and did
it
this.
Used
and
this
did
many
that.
Meters of
right, and used this many filament. Meters, and it weighs this much, and therefore, given the price of that particular spool of filament, mm-hmm. it costs this much to make.
Ah, okay.
So I can keep track of all of that and never, ever show it to my wife, ever.
Well, you know, if it, the buy-in to get in on this is usually at least a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah.
To get the equipment and to get rolling. But if that's a bridge too far, hey, I get it. I'd love a bargain myself. What I can tell you is, and a lot of people might not know this, there are places in town that you can go use their 3D printer for free. F-R-E-E. That's my favorite
price.
Well,
you pay for the filament.
You do pay for the filament, but
they don't charge you to use the printer.
They do not charge you to use their printer.
Right.
I know for certain at the Greece Library, one of the Greece libraries, they have one or more printers, and they simply charge you by the gram for the filament.
Yep.
And I think if you take your file that describes the thing that you want to make, they will give you an estimate. You don't even have to leave your house. They'll do it right at the webpage. You tell them what you want to make. They'll say, okay, yeah, it's going to probably cost about this much.
Yep.
And personally, I was very surprised at how reasonable the prices were. They were so inexpensive that it was surprising to me that it was so little.
If you buy your filament in bulk, which is essentially what I was doing
yeah.
in the grab bag,
mm-hmm.
it's ludicrously inexpensive.
Yeah.
So that was pretty nice. One of the things I showed to Dennis was I am lactose intolerant, so I carry dairy tablets with me.
Oh, sure. Like a lactate-style tablet?
Yeah. And so I have a little pill thing that unscrews, and the whole thing was the screw portion, the cap, the bottom were all 3D printed.
Uh-huh.
As two units, the top and the bottom.
Interesting.
They screw together so... So smoothly.
Satisfyingly.
Oh, give it a try. It's unbelievable.
Oh, that is pretty good.
The first time I did that, I thought that it can't be. It can't be that good. And so it's pretty nice. And then for Christmas.
Yes.
I made my daughter a puzzle box.
Oh, sure.
And it's essentially a hidden puzzle box. It's a cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a maze inside.
Yes. Instead of being threaded,
right.
it's sort of the thread works its way around.
And it's about 3 inches,
uh-huh.
4 inches tall. And there are three of them. So it nests. So you have to get all of them. And the guy said, I've never seen anybody do this in less than half an hour. My daughter, of course, did it in almost 4 minutes.
Right. Right. So then you can put a really cool gift on the inside, like, you know, $50 bill or whatever.
Exactly yeah. what I put in it. But it was, And the nice thing about it is that you can change the maze. So if I made
another
one, it would be different.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure. Yes. You'd print out a different
right.
design.
Right.
One of the things that I got a couple of years ago for Christmas from a family friend was, do you remember making model kits as a kid? The cars and the trucks, motorcycles,
ships,
airplanes.
Ships,
and they come in plastic
carriers.
And they have those big molded runners with all the little parts and you'd have
oh, yeah.
to snap off the parts and use the X-Acto knife and make it all smooth. He did that with his 3D printer, but it was the shape of a model of a reindeer. And you snap out the body of the reindeer and you snap off the neck and you insert the tab A into slot B and you build yourself a reindeer with antlers and everything else, and he used filament that was glow in the dark.
Oh yes.
So during the dark nights of December, you know, you can print out your eight tiny reindeer and snap them all out, and because they were so thin, they don't take as long to make. So that was a really impressive gift that I received.
Yeah, those are pretty nice.
The value was way bigger than the time involved.
Exactly. Particularly since once it's created, you just sit and wait.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you have to actually do anything.
No, no.
And the other thing is, so they do have glow-in-the-dark filament. They also have heat-sensitive filament, so
oh,
it changes
okay.
color.
Oh, I see.
And the most impressive thing I've seen made with those, birds' nests.
Hmm.
So you know when there's birds in the nest.
Now, wait a minute. All right, so you print out the nest. You take it outdoors.
Yeah.
You find some
tree and you hang it from the tree.
Spot that's protected. That you can still see from in the house or nearby.
Right. It's kind of shaped like a gourd, so it's
yeah, yeah.
completely protected. They just go in the hole.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Like a pear shape, but bigger.
Right, right, okay. Essentially. So what happens is you can look at it and it's, you know, let's say white.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. And then one day you look out and the whole bottom is now blue.
Hmm.
You know there are...
There's something going on in there.
There's something going on. There's living creatures in there.
Something with heat, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool idea.
Interesting.
And the one thing you'll find is that if you leave a PLA print in your car in the summer, it may get kind of soft.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got both.
Wow.
Okay, hold on.
Suddenly,
go ahead.
Suddenly we're so popular.
Yeah, suddenly we're popular.
I don't know what to do about this.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar.
I don't know. I have no idea
what
to do next.
Help.
But at any rate, that's if you want to give us a call about 3D printing, we don't
or
know much, but we'll talk about
anything
it.
Else.
Right. Give us a call.
Or if you want to teach me something.
Exactly. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. The other thing I made,
mm-hmm.
cat toys.
Okay.
I printed a ball that was a cage.
All right.
And you print it about halfway and then you pause the print. So you can drop a jingle bell in.
Okay.
And then you start
you finish
the print
it off
again.
And it keeps the bell on the inside.
Keeps the bell on the inside.
And then the cat bats it around and it jingles.
And
it,
the
or
cat
you throw
does
it
not
and it
bat
jingles.
It around until 3 a.m.
Oh.
Just so you know, that's how
I
those
see.
Work.
I see. Well, that's good. My daughter has two cats now.
Oh, excellent.
And this will give them something to fight over.
Perfect.
One moment. Steve from Greece, please call back. I hit the wrong button.
Uh-oh.
Meanwhile, in between that, Jerry from Rochester asked, since you are talking about 3D printers today, my wife has a Surcut automated...
Uh-oh, Cricut. A Cricut. Yep.
How's it pronounced? How's it spelled?
C-I-R-C-U-T, automated paper cutter to make scrapbook stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It takes dot cut files.
Yep.
Is there a way, an app which converts JPEGs or PDFs or TIFFs files into cut format files?
Probably. So there's a difference. The type of files that you asked to use as a source are what we call raster files. They are rectangular, and the information in them describes what the pixels should look like. The type of file that a Cricut is likely to need, because it's using motion controllers and a very small razor blade, generally to cut vinyl or thick paper, things like that, those are looking for vector format files, and raster and vector are not the same. Converting vector to raster is fairly straightforward as long as you know what DPI or how many pixels per inch you want. But going the other direction and converting raster into vector is more difficult. That being said, I can see that Nick is Googling furiously to find an answer for us.
There are a couple of programs that will do that. Some of them are online. And when we get a break, I'll put these up. But there's a program called Silhouette Studio.
Ah, okay.
Which will convert a raster image, JPEG, PNG, GIF,
mm-hmm.
to a Silhouette cut file.
A vector, yeah.
Right, right. So you can download Silhouette Studio. Open Silhouette Studio is what it's called. There are also programs like CuteCutter.com. And things like that. So I'll put up a list or easily it's just easy enough to go to Google and type in convert JPEG to .cut.
Yeah, there's
and you'll see a dozen of them. So you can and apparently the .cut file was originally for a product called Silhouette, but Cricut uses the same or Cricut or however you want to pronounce it uses the same file format. So this Open Silhouette Studio will do any image to dot cut format and that will work on a Cricut.
Cool. That's
or
great.
Cricut.
Yeah. Well, and you know, if there's speaking to our listeners, if there's something that you'd like us to search for you and try and come up with a good answer, we are all expert Googlers. So this is when you work with computers and you have hundreds of questions a day yourself that you're trying to figure out, you get very good at this and knowing what the good sources of information are and knowing how to describe things and in ways that Google happens to appreciate.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. Hi, Steve, what's up?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a logic question. C720. No, I'm sorry. C270. You're not going to be able to look it up. I don't give you the right number. camera for my computer.
Yep.
I've had it for years, probably close to 10. It's worked fine. The other day I went to sign into a meeting and I had no image. Nothing. Basically, it wasn't working. I went to, I looked at the camera on my, I'm running Windows 10, by the way.
Okay.
And it says it looks like another app is using the camera already.
Hmm.
So I had problem with Skype before. I uninstalled Skype. I uninstalled Zoom, so all I could use was the Meet. I can't figure out what is using the camera. I've tried the camera on other laptops. It works great. So it's probably not the camera.
No, it's in Windows 10.
Yeah, but it's
in, there's a setting actually in there for the camera in Windows 10.
Oh, I don't.
When I, okay.
I tried not to go into Windows 10.
I typed in camera, it comes up and says it looks like another app.
Yeah.
Right. So one thing you, of course, you've rebooted your machine.
Of course.
And you've made sure that nothing else is auto-running. One of the things that we're finding is that sometimes the Microsoft...
Microsoft Teams.
Teams,
yeah.
Or Skype starts up in the background, whether you like it or not.
TSR.
The heck with you, because...
They know better.
They know better. It's not your machine, it's theirs.
Yeah.
That's why I uninstalled Skype.
Okay. Right. Well, that doesn't stop Teams.
Okay.
Right, so... and it also doesn't stop, for example, Microsoft Office can grab the camera as well for Teams or Skype, just in case you want to use it.
I haven't looked at Office.
Right. So what you want to do is make sure all of those are stopped. And, of course, you can do that either by stopping them yourself or looking at the list of running programs.
Uh-huh.
And do it that way. So either way, make sure everything else is turned off. If that doesn't do it, it may just be that you've got it. Try plugging it into a different USB port.
Done that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would also unplug it and then also tell the device manager that you've
deleted it.
Right. Remove it from the device manager entirely and then let it
plug it back
again.
In and reinstall and then see if you get more control over that way.
Okay.
Those would be the next things I would do.
Yeah, because in the device manager, you can remove it,
right.
Reboot the machine, and have it refind it. And see if
plug it back in.
I've started up the machine, then plug it back in, wait for Windows to be good. Right. Hey, I found a thing.
Yep.
Okay, so.
That's about all we can suggest at this point. If you've done all the troubleshooting.
That's
so
good.
If the camera works in other devices, then it is indeed Windows 10.
Yeah,
having taken
one
over
one of the latest and greatest updates. Just changed.
Well, also Dance Security Tango, because there are viruses that grab your camera.
Yeah,
malware that grabs your camera. So
yeah, give these things a shot. Give us a call back if we're still on the air, and let us know how it works out.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you very much.
All right, we'll be over here.
Thanks, Steve.
Yep.
Yeah, it's, there's so much weird stuff that's going on with cameras and things these days.
Oh, well, especially since we're using more of it, you know, the GoToMeetings and everything else, Zoom, and that, they're getting spoofed, and, you know, people are crashing in on meetings and disrupting and hacking there, too, so...
And yeah, I'm working, I've said this before, I'm working with a company called Mastermind Lounge, and we do video conferencing that's secure and yada, yada, yada. Okay, never mind. But the point is, what's difficult is the variables. You know, I helped a guy, a musician, believe me, you would know the name. Believe me, you would know the name. He wanted to teach a class, and that's what we do, and so I was helping him get set up. and everything worked perfectly. He had great sound, he had great video, he had great lighting, he had a great connection. It was terrific. And then he gave the class, and it was horrible.
Oh, no.
Well, I sat down with him afterwards. I said, when we tested your setup, you were in your studio.
Mm-hmm.
You were connected through your sound board, your mixers and stuff. And you were about 6 feet away from your Wi-Fi connection.
True. Okay.
And it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
When you gave the class, you were in your garage on Wi-Fi through the garage wall. And it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Your kids were all playing video games. Your wife was on Facebook and yada, yada, yada.
The neighborhood's home.
Oh, the whole neighborhood's home. And it was a terrible connection. You gotta.
There's only so much we can do.
And he understood. He did. He truly understood. I said, you gotta give your classes at a time when, you are who you are. So people are going to make themselves available for you. Believe me. Believe me if you knew who this guy was. Mm-hmm. So,
you've got that juice.
Yeah. You got the juice. So you got to be aware of that stuff. And we had another guy who had a Mac, and he had the same problem. The camera's in use by another product. Well, with a Mac, as you well know, closing the window doesn't close the program.
That's true.
So if he had a Zoom meeting in the morning, at the end of the Zoom meeting, he would close the Zoom window.
Right.
Perfectly acceptable.
Yeah. To finish
except
the call.
That it doesn't actually close Zoom.
Doesn't
so Zoom still owns the camera.
Uh-huh.
So when he tried to log on to Mastermind,
mm-hmm.
he'd get the message. Sorry, somebody else already has your camera.
No dice. Yeah.
So we had to explain to him that the best thing he could do would be to either make sure Zoom is closed, or if that's hard, reboot your machine.
That's sometimes the easiest way to tell people to help themselves. Yeah,
exactly right. So since then, he's had that particular guy has also had no trouble, but it is confusing, and it is a difficult thing because this is new. You know, people are now used to, oh, I have to check for viruses. I have to do this. I have to do that.
Oh, I have to wait for the dial tone before I dial the number.
Right.
Oh.
The struggle was real, sheeple. You don't know how good you've got it. We computed uphill both ways in the snow. All right. That music tells us that you have wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense, but don't go away. At least don't go too far, because there's a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe coming your way. We're going to have Dave Enright. We're going to have Dennis Worster. We're going to have me, Nick Francesco. And we're going to have you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites. And it is right here on the Truly Great. And truly grateful to those of you who donated and became members to this truly member-supported Jazz 90.1. Take a quick bio break. We will see you in just a few more moments. I better stop talking now.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. You're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. For those of you who are just tuning in, our pledge drive is now over, so it's safe to call again. we did not make our goal.
Yet.
So all of you freeloaders... at any rate, thank you to each and every one of you who did pledge. We are both honored and grateful that you made that pledge and made that contribution, became a member of the Soundbites family. We did not make the goal, so I don't know what that means in terms of the future. But right now, at least give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And if you do want to pledge, you can still do so online at jazz901.org. But the pledge drive itself is over, technically.
But it's never too late to become a member.
It is never too late to become
any time of the year, you can.
And we'll happily thank you.
We will. We're very very honored for those who...
Well, that's one thing that's open, actually, 365 days a year.
Oh, yeah.
7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Sure.
Right. They can go online and make a pledge.
Right.
What else is in the news this week?
Well, interestingly enough, we know that the FCC has announced the inexpensive broadband for low-income residents.
Okay.
And that is now a thing. Enrollment for the $50 per month broadband subsidies for U.S. residents with low incomes or those who lost income during the pandemic will begin on May 12th. According to the Federal Communications Commission, they announced that on Thursday. The FCC also set up a new website at which people can sign up for the subsidies at getemergencybroadband.org. I've already posted a link in the forums under the show discussion with that and a couple of other links. So you'll be able to see it there. Congress approved the subsidies in December, but it took a few months for the FCC to set up the program. The FCC has previously said enrollment would begin at the end of April, so they didn't miss it by much. Check out this list of providers, which is also in that post, the list of providers in that post to determine whether your ISP is participating in the discount program. There's also a Companies Near Me tool that is not active yet, but will become active a little closer to May 12th. The subsidies will not last indefinitely. They, and I quote, will end when the fund runs out of money or 6 months after the Department of Health and Human Services declares an end to the COVID-19 health emergency, whichever is sooner, according to the program website. Participating households will need to opt in to continue receiving broadband services from their provider after the program ends. If a household chooses to continue receiving service after the end of the emergency broadband benefit program, they will be billed the broadband provider's general monthly rate. Congress provided $3.2 billion for the subsidies, and pending legislation would add another $6 billion to the emergency fund if it is approved. Households with incomes at or below 135% of federal poverty guidelines qualify for the subsidy, as explained on the Do I Qualify page. The FCC website explains how to apply and lists the documents people may need to provide to prove that they are eligible. Again, that information will be on our forums. Scroll down on the right, soundbites.org, bites with a Y. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. You'll see the forums. In this case, it's the first forum, the show discussion. And currently, at least, it's the number one item under the show discussion, FCC website for $50 per month broadband subsidies. You can also see that by scrolling down on the left under recent forum topics. That is the number one item there currently as well. So if you are wondering if you qualify, that will help you. If you know you qualify, that will help you get involved. And it's up to $50 a month subsidy for broadband.
Which is still a sad state of affairs.
Yes.
I mean, here we are, a country, you know, that's been leading in technology and everything else, and we've fallen so far behind other third world countries as far as internet speed and cost.
Yep.
I mean, you can go so many other places that it's so much faster and a third of the cost.
Yep. So I'm looking through the list here for listeners that happen to be in, you know, the Monroe County, Greater Rochester area.
Yep.
I'm seeing that Frontier is listed. I'm seeing that Greenlight is listed. And I'm checking for Spectrum here.
I believe that was also listed, I believe. But
I don't see Spectrum under the – I'm scrolling down to the S's. I don't see Spectrum there. But I do see them listed under Charter Spectrum. I don't know if that's specific to a certain area in New York State or not, but –
Yeah.
It's worth investigating.
Certainly is. And so if you are one of those people who is currently having a little difficulty,
if you have the need to pay for
broadband, this is
especially right now with the kids, you know, still doing the homeschooling.
That's exactly right.
You know, it's
businesses haven't fully opened. A lot of people are still working from home. There are predictions that companies are going to do a lot of continuing to work from home.
You go around the city and you see still so many places that have closed up or just closed shop and places for rent.
Yeah.
Because there's places that are, doing it from home.
Yep. It's sad for the real estate developers and owners, but for businesses in general, they're saving a lot of money. They're still getting the same amount of work done. It's a great thing. As I've said before, my daughter works for a company in Arizona. She works long distance, and she spends hours a day on her computer. And they pay for the computer, they pay for the internet service, and that's still cheaper than paying for her office space and everything else.
Yeah.
So it's a much better deal for them, And it's a great deal for her. She works when she needs to, when she wants to.
Mm-hmm.
She has to put an overtime.
Tailored around her hours.
Her commute is not as hard as it used to be.
Sure.
You think?
Pretty sure.
It is rougher for people who can do their job virtually. It's fantastic. For people who make their money by doing facilities work or who are doing cleaning work. Or who are serving in
restaurants.
Yes, serving in restaurants, people who expect kind of the foot traffic
right.
from people going out for lunch when they're at work downtown. This has been a disaster. You know, it's a big problem because if there aren't people coming into the office and, throwing trash in the trash can or using restrooms or what have you, then there isn't as much demand.
One of the other bigger issues is, and it's affected women far more, is right now, for the most part, women are staying home because they're doing the homeschooling.
Mm.
They're there for the kids to take one care. You know, they've more or less got three jobs.
Yeah.
They could be still working from home, taking care of the kids, and also trying to, make sure that the kids are doing their schoolwork.
Right.
Until the school kids get back.
Dads, step up.
Full time to school. You know, that's putting a big crunch on the everything right now.
And there is an issue as well with companies where people are now working from home. There is a synergy that happens in an office.
Oh, undoubtedly.
That you are no longer
part of
and that just simply doesn't exist. And that's also a problem. And video conferencing meetings can help with that. But it's not the same thing.
No, it really isn't.
You still don't have the water cooler gossip.
So yesterday, I went into my office, and one of my coworkers also was in there for working on a different project, and we were both at our desks. And there was a part where I said, "Huh," to myself, and then I said, "Huh," out loud.
Yeah.
And he heard that, and he looked over and said, "What's up?" And that simple thing of us both talking about what's going on or thinking about what to do about it that we can do in, 5 seconds to get that conversation started, comparing to, I'll send a message in our messaging app. I'll wait for them to respond. I'll say, "Hey, do you have time to talk about this?" They say, "Yeah, I might have time in 45 minutes.
Right.
It's a different animal. And I think as humans, we are so social. That it really you don't realize what you had in the office until it's no longer there. Where suddenly you're learning something new that you want to share, or you are hearing about a problem that you're not quite sure how to deal with, but you know if you talk it over with someone, you might get a good avenue to a solution,
a different outlook on something.
Yeah, and it hit me immediately that as soon as the other person ducked their head over and said, "What's going on?" They wanted to help. They wanted to see what was going on. They wanted to learn something new or be aware of what's going on.
Right. That ability to bounce stuff off somebody in the moment.
Yeah.
Is often invaluable.
Right. And it was a wonderful thing. And it immediately hit me that, I don't have this. when I'm at home looking at the Brady Bunch screen of all the miscellaneous coworkers right. that we do a few times a week.
Right. I have not done a video conference with more than about a dozen people.
Mm-hmm. It starts falling apart after that.
But it can be hard. Now I've done no. That's not true. I did an event through Mastermind Lounge with about 60 people in it, but only the band was on video.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was just listening, and if they had questions, they typed it in.
Yeah.
So, but in terms of the Brady Bunch video
yes.
screen, I haven't done much more than a dozen. And you're right; people need to be disciplined.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, there's an awful lot of etiquette involved in this that nobody teaches you, and that you have to kind of bring up to other people. It's like, oh, if you're not talking, maybe mute your microphone so we don't hear you crunching on your afternoon snack, or we don't hear the dog barking in the background, that kind of thing. So it's there's lots of unspoken things, whether or not you wave at everybody before you disconnect or say goodbye, or do you just bail out, or what's rude and what's not rude. And there's all these new things and interactions that people are doing in new ways that you've got to work on.
One of the things that I'm doing is putting together lists of things people do. So one of the things I've got is how to set up your video system, lighting and everything else.
Yeah, so you don't sit in front of a window and with your back to the window and have like a silhouette.
I cannot believe I had to put in, look behind you.
Mm.
If I can see into your bathroom, close the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of photos and all that, web pages.
Yeah.
On, people taking selfies and not checking what's in the background.
Oh, yes.
For sure.
Now, oh, yes. I've seen on my screen someone walking by behind and going into a bathroom and not closing the door.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I don't.
Never mind. I'm going to look up at the ceiling for a few minutes now.
You can't unsee that.
You cannot unsee that. All right, listen, let's leave that alone and go back to we have a text too, but we'll go to the phone first. Our caller is William from Virginia. Where in Virginia, William?
Hampton, sir.
How are things in Hampton?
Sunny and cool.
That How sounds are things nice.
In Greece and Rochester.
Cool and sunny as well. Yeah, cooler, I'm sure.
We're up to a whole balmy 50 degrees.
Holy moly.
Yeah, we're a balmy 58.
Yeah, okay, not much better. All right, we don't hate you very much.
Then. Yeah, much, much less than usual.
So what's up, William?
Dennis, I got to say, when I heard 9,600 baud, I started feeling my age.
How about 300?
Yeah.
And the phone couplers.
How about 110?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Nick, I want to address something that went back a few weeks that you spoke to when I had called regarding my Toshiba laptop on which I'm running Linux. And you may or may not recall that I asked you about a problem with ghosting on my flat screen when I connected the HDMI. And your solution was basically on point to check the frequency.
Right.
To make sure the resolution matched. And there was really, for the Toshiba, it was something like, I think it's like 1280 by 760 with a 16:9 aspect, something like that.
Right.
That right selection, but it turns out that the problem was even more basic than that. One of the function buttons was not pressed.
Right. Right. Laptops have a number of function buttons, and depending on the laptop, there's different. They do different things,
yep.
But. You do have to have all of that set up. Well, good. Well found there, William.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just the other day, in fact, just yesterday, I received in the mail a rechargeable mouse, and that has to be the greatest invention since sliced bread because, it used to be that I needed batteries.
Right.
Don't need batteries anymore.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, Apple has been doing that for a while, and they've got it. I'm using one at work. You charge it up over lunch. You know, you come back to your desk, you unplug it, you use it for months. Before you have to do it again. Well,
and that's one of the problems with them, which is we often would get calls that say, my mouse is dead.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Change the batteries.
Right. Or you might need to charge it. It's like, oh, well, it's been so long, I didn't even notice.
Right, I forgot it takes batteries. Right.
Now, the problem with the Apple one is that it has a design flaw. You know, Apple's super into the design. I always say Apple is makes products that look great in a photo shoot. That's their fashion company approach to technology. And the port where you plug in the cable to charge it is on the bottom, which means when so there's a running gag in the Mac world that this is, we call this the harpooned turtle, where you have to flip the mouse over and put the charging cable
on its belly
to charge it up. We don't know why they couldn't just put it up at the top and
or off
the place
back.
Where you wouldn't see.
You're right, it didn't look as good.
Yeah.
Or just off the back where the cable would have normally gone in.
Exactly. So, the Harpoon Turtle is the nickname for the mouse that they sell right now.
It's pretty funny.
That's not an issue with this one that I received, though. The charging port is on the front, as you would expect.
Oh, good.
Now, what happens is that on the underside, there is an on-off switch, and if you leave it on and you're away from your laptop or desktop for some time, it will time out on you. So you have to you have to be basically working with it. You know,
right.
Okay,
That's actually good. It saves the battery.
Battery life.
Now, what model mouse is that? Do you know?
You know what? It's generic. It doesn't.
Oh, okay.
It was just one of those things that unfortunately is made in China.
Sure. It was like a promo item of some kind?
Well, along with everything else these days.
Yeah, that's true.
Made in the Shenzhen Silicon Valley of the Far East.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And made its big, long boat voyage over here to come find us.
I will say I have a certain amount of envy. There is a YouTube person I watch who lives in Shenzhen.
Okay.
And so about half her videos are, let's just take a walk down to the shops.
Okay.
And you go, and there's everything. Oh, everything. Yeah. Everything.
It's like if Amazon was a store.
It's like, yes. If Amazon was a city.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there you go. It's in all the different shops.
Yeah. Oh, I want one of these. And it costs about a third of what you would pay for it over here.
Right.
Of course.
And as long as it works, you'd be all set.
You're all set. And then if it dies, you just go take a 2-minute walk and buy another one.
Well, what I learned was you can go buy those things. So this, I was watching a video back when you could buy a DVD player. So you'd go get a Blu-ray player, and you'd go to the store in China. You'd pick it out. They'd grab it. The person behind the desk would take it, plug it in, connect it to a television, put in a disc, and play it to show you that it worked, so that everybody agreed that it worked when you left it, when you left with it.
Yep.
Because I don't know that the QC is quite as good.
Yeah.
So if it didn't work, then they'd pick a different one. So, yeah. Right. So I was surprised to see that they would go through the labor of proving that it works before it leaves. But I imagine that's better for
everybody.
Every
once in a while, I buy something from AliExpress or Banggood. And the bad news is sometimes you don't know what the quality is going to be like.
Yeah.
But the good news is it takes so long to get to you. It's like somebody sent you a gift. You forgot you were buying it, and suddenly this thing shows up. It's like, this is great.
Past Nick sent something to future Nick.
Exactly.
It's a time machine.
Anyway, good job. And I love the idea of that rechargeable mouse, William. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Enjoy your day, guys.
You All too. Right. Bye-bye. Have fun down there in Hampton.
Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. I do. I don't have anything out right now from AliExpress or Banggood. But
that you know of.
That I remember. But it's kind of fun. Suddenly something comes in the mail and you think, oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Well, a box came yesterday from, again, the Jeff Bezos company.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a big one. And I had something I ordered, but it was super small. It was, a few ounces. And I was like, no. This box, Amazon has in the past sent me giant boxes with lots of packing material and then like a flash card in it.
Right.
But so I was like, I hope they didn't do that again. So I went over and picked it up. No, it was heavy. I said, I don't remember ordering anything this heavy. And at that point, you know, it's a surprise. You're just doing an unboxing video just for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So I got my pocket knife. I opened it up, and it was...
Something for the wife.
It was study guides for my kids who were getting ready to take the exams at the end of the year.
Right.
And I said, oh, well, okay. I mean, I guess, that's good, I guess.
But not for me.
Yeah.
I'll keep waiting.
Yeah, I know. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Josh from Fairport, New York. Hi, Josh. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I call sometimes. I like listening to you guys every time I get to. In the last couple of weeks, I started getting into just kind of like the ground floor of learning how to code.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting, and it's you know, listening to you guys is really inspirational. It just kind of pushed me into this different direction. So I just want to call and thank you guys.
Hey. Absolutely our pleasure. What language are you learning right now?
I'm starting with HTML5.
Okay.
Nice.
That's a great place to start.
Yeah, very good.
Very cool. Very cool.
There's a lot to learn there. And the nice thing about HTML is you can build it yourself. You can test it on your own computer. You don't even have to have internet access to do it. And the changes you make, you can see the results of right away.
Yeah. Immediately. It's great.
And so the build time from when you write it to when you see it and you go, oh, wait a minute, I need to change this. And then you go back and you make the change, you save it, you reload it.
You
got to
recompile it.
That cycle is so tight with HTML that it's a great place to start.
Yeah. So I'm just real excited, looking forward to all the cool things I'm going to learn and just keep listening to you guys and having a good time.
Well,
good
you're doing
you,
all
Josh,
the right things.
Thanks for like keeping us, letting us know about that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Great.
And when you learn something else cool that you want to brag about and you get it online and you want us to see it, give us a call and let us know.
Let us know.
All right. Cool. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Thanks, Josh.
All right.
That's Bye-bye. Awesome.
Take care.
It's so nice when people call us and tell us that that they're trying something new.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, learning to program. And you're right about the instant gratification thing.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
We'll tease it. We'll come back and tell you more about what it's like about learning the program after this.
Soon. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 33 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the super professional Soundbites on Jazz 90.1.
Oh, I see. No, he mixed it up.
Doesn't matter, honestly.
Don't worry about it, man. It's all good.
I better read this one.
Okay.
Verizon is reportedly ready to give up on Yahoo and AOL after spending a combined $9 billion, with a B, on the once dominant internet brands that fell from prominence years before Verizon bought them.
Yeah, I would have done it for a lot less.
A whole lot less. The sale process involves private equity firm Apollo Global Management. They are trying to sell it. And if they do, it could lead to a deal worth $4 billion to $5 billion for a net loss of only $4 or $5 billion.
Brilliant.
It's currently unclear if they're actually trying to sell off just AOL and Yahoo, or if their entire media division, which would be an even greater net loss. Ultimately, of course, Verizon could opt to keep them around if the price isn't high enough. Verizon purchased AOL in 2015 for $4.4 billion and bought Yahoo in 2017 for $4.5 billion, combining the two into a subsidiary called Oath. Verizon's acquisition-fueled media division failed to compete successfully against Google and Facebook in the advertising market. Verizon realized
It might be an understatement there.
Exactly. Verizon realized they were not even an also-ran. They were somewhere behind the dust cloud.
Yes.
Verizon realized its media plans weren't panning out, so to speak, by the end of 2018 when it said that Oath experienced increased competitive and market pressures throughout 2018 that it resulted in lower than expected revenues and earnings.
Hmm.
This led to a non-cash goodwill impairment charge, whatever that means, of about $4.6 billion, wiping out nearly all of Oath's goodwill value. In January 2019, Verizon announced layoffs of 7% of the 11,385 employees in the media division, or of about 800 people.
Amazing.
Verizon renamed Oath as Verizon Media that same month, and then another 150 layoffs followed in December 2019 after another drop in revenue. The Verizon Media business, which also includes Yahoo Finance and Yahoo Mail, as well as the news sites TechCrunch and Engadget, generated $7 billion of revenue in 2020, which was down 5.6% from the previous year due to a sharp advertising pullback during the early months of the coronavirus pandemic. Business picked up in the second half, and the unit has logged two consecutive quarters of double-digit growth, including a boost of 10% to $1.9 billion in the first quarter. However, the media business failed to reach its target of $10 billion in annual revenue by 2020, and by selling now, Verizon could raise needed cash at a time when valuations of similar assets are enjoying an upswing. Tumblr, which Yahoo bought for $1.1 billion in 2013. Really, back in the early 20s, if you had started any kind of media company with an odd name, Verizon wanted it.
Yeah.
Tumblr, was, which Yahoo bought for $1.1 billion in 2013, was sold by Verizon to WordPress.com owner Automattic, with two T's, mm-hmm. for well below $20 million.
Matt Mullenweg, yeah.
From $1.1 billion, they sold it for less than $20 million.
That's not so good.
Not as good as you might think. Verizon agreed to sell HuffPost to BuzzFeed in November 2020 and subsequently informed investors of a net loss of $119 million, primarily related to this position of the HuffPost business. Verizon told investors that its capital expenditures on network infrastructure and upgrades in 2021 will total between $19.5 billion and $21.5 billion American dollars. So are you still using Yahoo Mail or AOL Mail? Might be time to move on. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. We've been saying this for a long time, having an email address that is not attached to your internet service provider is a very good thing. Right now, Yahoo and AOL may not be the best places to have your mail. Are they likely to go under and just disappear? No, absolutely not. Are they going to be severely devalued and therefore perhaps not as well maintained as they used to be? That is quite likely.
Yeah.
That is quite likely.
Get more spam and...
Right, exactly. So any sort of other free email service like Google or Microsoft or Apple is probably a better place.
Mm-hmm.
To go. Okay, so we did get a text message. Actually, we got two, and the second one apparently came in first. Doesn't matter. A person wanted to know the difference between Google Drive and Microsoft OneDrive.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what's safer, what's more secure?
Right.
What do you think?
Well, like I said, I have friends who work at Google.
Okay.
I have high friends in low places. Also, I have low lives in high places. Uh-huh. Very high places. And Google Drive seems, at least from what I know, to be incredibly secure and very safe. MS OneDrive is, I'm sure, just as safe. I just don't know that personally.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Yeah.
They're probably fine.
Right.
But here's the big thing. Are they going to just get it going for a while and then, like so many other things, drop it?
Right.
Well, yeah, either drop it or suddenly jack up the price.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Google has already done that. You get 15 gig for free, but a lot of other things used to be not counting against that quota.
Right.
So, for example, documents didn't count against that quota if you did them in Google's format. Pictures didn't count against that quota. Now they do.
So it's free with an asterisk.
So it's free with an asterisk. Both work in quite similar ways, particularly if you have Windows. You can essentially have an icon on your desk that is that drive.
Yep.
So you can move things back and forth pretty easily. So that's easy enough to do. All of that in general works quite well. Both of them work with Windows, with Mac OS, with Chrome OS, with right. Android, with the other Mac OSs. There's so many. I'm just going to say
well,
the other Mac OSs.
And it's not just Google and Microsoft. You know, Amazon's got their storage. Right. Box has theirs. Dropbox has theirs. Pretty much every company, in the same way that people used to have word processors and spreadsheets and presentation programs, and you can right. get those from Apple or from Microsoft or Google. Yeah, you can also get cloud storage from those big three and half a dozen other places too.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in terms of those things, word processing and spreadsheets and stuff, Google has their Google Suite.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft has their online yep. Office 365 business.
Apple has theirs too.
Apple has theirs. So and all of those work as well. Which are easier to use, which are more convenient to use.
Sure.
I've bought into the Google environment mainly because I'm so into Chromebooks.
Right.
And so that's what I use. But whichever one you use, the beauty of that is that by keeping all that stuff online, and like I said, it is secure. It is safe.
Yeah, there's no reason. There's no reason for us to think that any one is any better than the others at this moment. I would say whatever integrates best with how you do your work is probably a good choice. If you're a Microsoft Windows user, I don't think there's any major reason to not look at OneDrive.
Right.
And
right
they
now
more
there's no cost for Microsoft. What is it, 365 or Live.com or whatever that's called this week.
They likely have good integration with their own operating system. And I suspect that that's going to make life a little bit easier if I had to pick one out of a hat. If you were using an Apple device, I would say go with Apple's iCloud Drive feature.
Right.
And if you're using Windows, OneDrive would probably be a good place to go with. If you live in the Google world, then, you know, Google's storage solution may be a better
choice. I don't trust Microsoft, you know, especially their OneDrive, because they have a bad track record as far as, you know, keeping things up to date or even securing, you know, is it secure? And how long are they going to support it? It doesn't make them any money. So, you know, they try it for a while and then...
Well, they might, but chances are good they're going to give you at least, you know, 30 or 60 days to get your information off of their storage before you have to worry about it.
So right now I'm on a Chromebook, and I'm in my Microsoft OneDrive,
mm-hmm.
and I can go look at my documents or my notebooks or my whatever, and I can open them, and they open up in the web just as... they would in Google Docs or Pages or whatever.
Safari, yeah, no problem.
Right, so you can do all of that without a problem. Also, by the way, and here's the interesting. This is a note. I didn't want a note. The other interesting thing is that it's free. I'm not paying for this.
Yeah,
and it's a full. It's a pretty full mm-hmm. Word. PowerPoint, Excel,
a suite.
It's the whole suite, and so you can do that. There are some things I prefer in Google's stuff, but you can do things like dictate, and you can do design, and you can do editing in the Word section. You can save the real question is how much information you can save mm-hmm. in each thing, and by the way, there's nothing that says you can't use them all. So, you know, I can put my 5 gigs worth of data into OneDrive. I can put my 15 gigs worth of data into Google Drive. I can have unlimited photo storage in Amazon because I'm a Prime user. All at the same time, there's nothing that says you can't mix and match.
Yep.
So, you know, and the other thing is because they're all free, it costs you nothing
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you can use the one that makes sense.
And you can use the one that, you know, try them all. Use the one that makes you happiest.
Well, I like the Google Drive only from the standpoint it doesn't matter what device or operating system I'm using, whether it's on the Chromebook or on a PC or, you know, or on my phone or tablet, I can still get to the OneDrive, and that's where I store the master backup for NPass.
Right, right.
Because it can be accessed by anyone. It doesn't have to go through Microsoft's permissions or anything else.
Right. But it does work with all of those. So it'll work with OneDrive. It'll work with Google Drive. Yep. It'll work with all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And so whichever one makes you happy, use. There's, you know, like I said, OneDrive only gives you 5 gig. Apple only gives you 5 gig. Google gives you 15 gig. Is that important to you? If so, then stick with Google. But in terms of security and all the other stuff, they're pretty much the same. I wouldn't worry about that at all. Okay, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Irondequoit, New York. Hiya, Jim. What's up?
Hello. I forgot my password for my my email address, and I'm trying to reset it, and it's asking me for my MAC address, MAC, and I have there's so many numbers on my modem that I have no idea which one they really want.
What's your email program?
Well, I'm trying to use Thunderbird.
And it's asking for your MAC address?
What I'm trying to do is reset my Roadrunner password.
Yeah. Oh, Roadrunner.
Yeah, they're trying to make sure that he is who he says he is.
Yeah.
And the way that they do that is by asking you to go to your cable modem and get a piece of information from it that is specific just to your house.
Right.
Right. So on the bottom, you're going to see a number of things. It might be labeled hardware address. It might just be labeled MAC. It's the media access control address. And you'll see that it will be, 12 digits long?
Yeah, I think
12 characters?
Okay. Well, you know, I tried that. And when I tried to put that in, it looked like it wouldn't take that many characters.
Well, you might not put spaces in. It might not want spaces.
It might not want the spaces. If there are colons in between each every other character, you probably won't need to put those in. The other way you can know that it is the MAC address is that it's in hexadecimal, which means it's only going to use the numbers 0 through 9 and the letters A through F. If you see anything that's outside of that, then you don't have the right thing.
Okay. Well, I must have typed it in wrong, but I tried that, and when I did it, it looked like it wouldn't take that many characters.
Well, then you may have the wrong thing. If you have if you're looking at your internet modem, you want something labeled WAN MAC, WAN MAC, or the CM MAC ID.
Okay.
If you have a Spectrum receiver, if that's what they're asking for.
I don't have that.
Okay, then it's either going to be the WAN MAC or the CM MAC ID. If you've got a phone voice modem, then it is definitely the CM MAC ID that they're looking for.
Okay. Well, so I must have typed it in wrong because I tried that and it didn't seem to work. So I'll try it again.
All right.
I think it's a 12 character thing.
Yeah.
And you do it without the spaces or without the colons or any of that stuff. So it would be
I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, so it would be something like, 0123456789AB or whatever.
Right. Okay, I'll try it again.
All right, good. Let us know.
Okay, Doug. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Yeah, it should be right on either the back or the bottom, depending on which
it's on a sticker.
Which device you have
on the bottom.
Right.
But yeah, if you've got that thing over in the corner and it's black on black and you're trying to bend over sideways to read it and it's super tiny and you've got your glasses only half on.
Yeah, we were talking, we were talking last week about, I've learned that if something's up against the wall, I just take a picture of it.
Yeah.
And then
grab your phone.
The heck with it. But we were talking last week about the fact that things are now coming out in colors, the new Macs.
Yes.
We'll go back to colors again.
Right.
And I was saying how tired I am of black and of silver, except I like silver better than black because when it's black, they have black on black labels.
Right.
You can't read a stinking thing. At least with silver, it's black on silver, and that works. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dennis. Not this Dennis.
Wait a minute.
A different Dennis.
Oh, wait, there's more than one?
It's unbelievable, isn't it? We found the other one, and he's in Greece, New York. Hi, Dennis. What's up? Dennis?
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead. What's up?
It's not Dennis. It's Kevin.
Kevin. Okay.
Okay.
Whew. That's not that my fault.
Just got a security thing from my Chrome on my Android phone. Chrome.
Okay.
I went to try to go to a website that was in my bookmarks, and it's telling me there was a certificate issue. And when I pressed through and said, "I believe this is correct. It looks like it's typed correctly," and I said, "Go ahead and connect anyway." Now it says something about this website is claimed by Squarespace.
Okay.
Or something like that. So does that mean that what's going on here? Is this a scam or what?
No. Here's the deal. When a person takes out a website, they need a certificate that verifies that they are the owner of that website.
Right.
Every website has to have that now, more and more. You used to be able to go to http://something. Now it's HTTPS.
Right.
That S means it's secure, and that secure means there's a valid certificate for it.
Right.
If that certificate expires.
Yeah.
Or there's something wrong with that certificate, then you start getting messages like that. And okay. Squarespace is a company that sells web space. So what would happen is, let's say Dennis has a website.
Right.
DennisIsGreat.com.
I go there every day.
Every day. We all do.
Why wouldn't you?
Of course. And you've got a certificate for DennisIsGreat.com.
Yep. And it proves that I'm me and that this is my website, and that you can know that it hasn't been adjusted as it flew through the air over to your computer. It's for you to view.
Right.
Right.
And it is that, but that site is hosted on Squarespace.
Yep.
Now, Dennis decides that he's no longer great and he's not going to have that website anymore.
Oh, wait a minute.
He would be wrong.
I was having a bad day.
But he might, just one of those days
maybe
when
I'm
you
not
lose
so
your
great.
Self-confidence. Exactly.
We
so
all have
he
those.
Stops paying for that website.
Yep.
That certificate reverts back to Squarespace. Dennis's certificate goes away and Squarespace's certificate takes over. So your browser says, now hold on. This used to be DennisIsGreat.com with a DennisIsGreat certificate.
Uh-huh.
Now it still says DennisIsGreat.com, but it's this Squarespace, which I don't know who this is.
That's what the browser says, yep.
And you get that. That becomes your error message. That's the error message you're getting now. So either it's one of three things. Either the site you're going to no longer is paying for that site.
Yep. And that's the most likely.
More likely is there was a screw up.
Oh, yeah.
at Squarespace,
and or they forgot to pay for their renew their certificate.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, whether they're not paying for it on purpose or accidentally, they're not paying for it.
Yes.
Accidentally on purpose.
Right. There was a screw up at Squarespace, specifically, or there was just a glitch in installing the new certificate, which also sometimes happens.
Yeah.
So your best bet is to wait a day or two and see if the issue goes away.
Okay.
Because
was a thought.
Yeah.
And no matter how big of a website this is a .gov.
Yeah.
And do they use Squarespace as their certificate provider?
Oh, they could easily, yeah.
I mean,
if you were in the government, you'd probably be looking for a government-approved contractor, and I wouldn't be surprised if Squarespace fell into that category. The thing that Squarespace is good at is supplying tools for people who are not super hip with HTML, like our other caller was.
Josh?
Yep.
Josh is learning?
Yeah, cool. And shout out to Josh. But if you are not interested in learning all of that and you just want some tools that let you say, hey, I want this text over here, I want this photo down here, I want these links over here, I want this other text
it's
over there.
It's basically brochureware.
Yeah, then Squarespace is a tool that lets you do that. And for a government agency, that's probably not that far off of what they're attempting to do anyway.
Exactly. So it's possible.
This all seems fairly legitimate. I'm not smelling anything that smells too bad here.
Right, right.
Okay. All right, that was just a thought.
Yeah.
Because it's like all of a sudden it's like, wait, it's not working. Didn't make a difference whether I put in the S or just the WW, it didn't make a difference which way I came back to the same place. So.
Right. So clearly it's not at your end, and it's likely to be one of the first two. Either there was a glitch or in Squarespace or a glitch in the certificate installation.
Now, did you just first notice this today?
I have not gone to the website in many days.
Okay.
A week.
So, I was going to say, if it happened like today, today's the first of the month, so maybe it expired at the end of the month.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Sure.
That might have happened. Who knows?
Something expired.
All right. So try in a couple more days and see how it goes.
Saturday. Yeah. See how it is on Monday. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. It's there's so many moving parts to a website.
Oh, yeah. And people have no idea.
So many.
There's so many easy ways to completely hose the whole thing. It's amazing anything stays up at all. Truly.
It really is.
All right. So 20 years ago, when the only place you could register a domain name was with Network Solutions, you might remember those days. I worked at
intimately.
I worked at a company. I was fresh out of college. And suddenly we realized our website wasn't working anymore.
Uh-huh.
And we weren't sure why. And our email wasn't working anymore, and we weren't sure why. And people, you know, like our clients, weren't able to send email to us. And this was kind of a big deal. So I looked into it and found out, oh, our domain had expired. And I said, well, wait a minute. This seems like the kind of thing that others, and I'd only been there for like 4 or 5 weeks
right.
at the time. It turned out that the responsible party that you list in your domain records, the technical contact, was the chief operating officer of the company.
Sure.
Okay, so that seems reasonable. Well, this chief operating officer was not terribly technically savvy, and it turned out Network Solutions did indeed attempt to contact this person, but they did it through the postal mail. And they sent a letter that said Network Solutions on it, which means something to you and me because we know the history of it, but otherwise sounds generic and vague.
Yes.
And, you know, for all your enterprise-y needs, you know, contact Network Solutions. And it had on the front of it important notice on it, which
junk
made
mail.
It look like junk mail. So this person promptly threw it out because it looked like junk mail. So for a little while,
on all my important websites.
Yes, this was before auto renew was a thing.
Right.
So yes, one of my first projects at that company was, hey, let's get back on the internet because email turned out to be a very popular thing that many of our clients were using.
You think?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
it
we
was
had
catching on.
You know, whenever email would go out at any company I worked for. You didn't even have to have, you know, I always had all kinds of early warning systems in place.
Oh, sure.
Didn't really need them for email.
No.
Email would be down for a half a second, and the phone would start
to ring. The phone would ring, or instantly. So you get knocks on your door.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is the server down?
In the 20-plus years that I did systems administration, I never once had my early warning system beat the users telling me that email was down.
Well, that was just a backup in case all the other users were on vacation.
Exactly. And I'm talking 3 a.m.
Yeah.
There's somebody in email. I couldn't send an email. What happened?
Go to sleep.
It's 3 a.m. Shut up. Go away. There's all kinds of interlocking pieces and parts.
Well, I still have this, you know, but it's just my kids when the Wi-Fi goes down.
Oh, yeah. You don't need any help with that either.
That's when they come out of their room, and they come and find me, and they squint and look at that giant ball of fire in the sky and wonder what that is. And then they come and find me and say, what's wrong with the Wi-Fi?
Yeah, exactly. One time at RIT, email went down, and you know, people were answering the phone and doing the whole, hi, thanks for calling the computer center, and blah, blah, blah. I would just pick up the phone and say, yep, email's down. Nope, we don't know when it's going to be fixed. We'll let you know. Yep, it's down. Back and forth. I took like 6 times as many calls as everybody else. All right. That made them happy. They were perfectly content.
As long as they knew that you know.
Exactly. That's all they cared about. All right. That music tells us we are done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I really want to thank Dennis Worster, who
anytime.
Once again came in on his little day off here.
Yep.
To join us in the mayhem and the nonsense. And
I'm good at both of those things.
Yeah, he's very good at both of those things. And
decades of experience.
Exactly. And I'm Nick Francesco. And we're done this week. You have been listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on the Truly Great. And again, we are grateful to those of you who did pledge during our pledge drive, we didn't make our goal, but we'll see what that means for the future. But we will see you in just a